From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Mass protests in Haiti have rocked the Caribbean nation for weeks as resistance to President Jovenel Moïse continue. His loyalists recently accused coup plotters of conspiring to murder him and arrested dozens of people, including a Supreme Court judge. At the heart of the conflict is President Moïse's claim to his position, even though his term has officially ended. My guest is Brian Concannon Jr., board member and co-founder of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. Welcome to the program, Brian.
Well, thanks for having me on, Sonali, and thank you for covering this issue.
So before we get to what's happening on the ground, let's talk about the technicalities of the president's term. When was he first elected to office, and why is there a conflict over whether he actually can hold on to power or not?
Well, he was elected in election cycle that ended in November of 2016. And the reason why, which was a year later than the post should have been elected, because his predecessor, Michel Martelly, was manipulating the elections, and controversies over the manipulation ended up having everything delayed. And in fact, there was an interim president for a year. And all these have created a somewhat ambiguous situation under the Constitution. Most Haitian scholars and lawyers and even the judicial oversight body feel that the better interpretation is that his term ended on February 7th of this year. President Moïse's supporters and the U.S. State Department are saying that he has another year. And that's not an absolutely impossible interpretation, but it's certainly not the best interpretation under the plain reading of the Constitution or following what the majority of Haitian scholars and lawyers have been saying.
And it's not just about a technical overstepping of his presidential term, right? Tell me about the violence that Haitians have been experiencing at the hands of this president and why that is giving added impetus to demands that he step down.
Well, President Moïse, ever since he started office in February of 2017, has been persistently grabbing more power. He's been persistently undermining accountability institutions. Just for some of the highlights are Parliament has not been able to meet for over a year. The mayors of all the cities, their terms ended and were replaced by Moïse cronies. He's undermined the anti-corruption authority in Haiti. He's taken over the police with his loyalists. And as part of that, when people have protested that and protested the spectacular corruption under his regime, he's responded by sending the police out to shoot people, to beat them, and to make illegal arrests. And that's increasing. When that didn't work, the president started making alliances with gangs, who then created this one single gang alliance that is going after any neighborhoods that are not supportive of the president. And again, you know, killing, raping, destroying property, really causing havoc, and there's no accountability for that.
I understand that there's also the issue of corruption with money from PetroCaribe being basically exploited.
Yes, there was over $2 billion that came from the sale of money, of sale of oil given by Venezuela. $2 billion of that was either poorly spent or outright stolen. And that's part of a much broader program. Even President Moïse got a budget law passed where they took money out of the ministries, like the Ministry for Public Health, the Ministry for Education, and put them into special accounts at the president and parliament that went around any accountability mechanisms. And some of that money really went to building roads and schools, but a lot of it went to the pockets of the president and his patronage machine. And that's all connected to the violence, because it is the patronage machine that is able to inflict attacks upon anybody who is opposing Moïse's power grabs.
You mentioned earlier that lawmakers had not been able to meet for a year. I understand that many of their terms have expired and there have not been elections to replace them. So this sounds like a complete breakdown of democratic institutions.
Yes. I mean, like the United States, Haiti's government is based on the balance of the judicial power, the legislative power, and the executive power. Moise got rid of the legislative power by refusing to hold elections and letting the parliamentarians' terms run out. So there's 10 senators left in office out of the entire parliament, and they can't do any business. He's infiltrated the justice system, putting his own handpicked judges in there, but also, as you mentioned, arresting and illegally firing judges and intimidating people. So the justice system really is not standing up to the executive. So he has this, and he's also, the press is another accountability mechanism where people are, in principle, the press can report about this, but journalists are getting attacked. They're getting arrested, they're getting shot, and as a result, they are self-censoring.
Jovenel Moise's term has had, most of it has coincided with Donald Trump's term here in the United States. What has U.S. policy toward Haiti been during Trump's term? And did that have an impact on Haiti's internal politics in terms of greenlighting the Haitian president's impunity?
Yes. So the Trump administration, as with most of its foreign policy, did not have a detailed and highly engaged policy towards Haiti. The main consideration was
Haiti. That's a nice way of saying he didn't know what he was doing, but go ahead.
Or didn't care, or didn't know where Haiti was. But what the big issue for Haiti-U.S. relations was Haiti's willingness to stand up and vote against Venezuela in the OAS. And the basic deal was that if Haiti gave the vote against Venezuela, the U.S. would basically let President Moise do what he wanted to do and continue to support him both diplomatically and financially. And that happened. We were hoping for a change. Haitians were certainly hoping for a change of direction when the Biden administration came in. And so it was quite a an unpleasant shock when the United States on February 5th issued an announcement saying that a pronouncement on Haiti's constitution saying that President Moise had another year on his term. And President Moise certainly saw that as a green light. And the morning of February 7th, he started arresting opponents, including, as you mentioned, Supreme Court Justice Dabra Seal and many others. 2 days later, he fired three members of the Supreme Court, which is exactly as illegal and problematic as if Donald Trump a year ago had said, I'm going to fire three U.S. Supreme Court justices. I'm going to put them into retirement. And they keep the pressure keeps continuing. The president then expropriated a whole bunch of land, giving it off to his cronies. And he's following through on a constitutional referendum that will make big changes to the constitution. It's scheduled for April. If it passed, it would allow the president to control the electoral commission. It would abolish the Senate. It would abolish the prime minister's post and pretty much make several huge steps towards further consolidating power in the executive's hands.
If the Haitian support for allegiance against Venezuela was what the Trump administration extracted from Haiti, what is the Biden administration's reasoning? Is it similar? Because, of course, we know that anti-Venezuela sentiment is generally a bipartisan affair.
I think there's some elements of that. If you look at what's happening, the statements coming out of the Western Hemisphere department and within the State Department, it looks like they're implementing Ronald Reagan's campaign promises, not necessarily Joe Biden's. I mean, they're talking about Daniel Ortega, Cuba, Venezuela, and not mentioning the spectacular human rights violations going on in Haiti, in Brazil, and other places run by right-wing governments. But we still are somewhat hoping that they're going to do better. It's possible that they the State Department has not really changed hands other than a few positions at the top that have been confirmed by the Senate. Almost all the positions are still holdovers from the Trump administration. And the Biden administration has an opportunity to change course. I think right now they're concerned that Haiti could could blow up and create a quagmire for the United States, and that one of the reasons why they decided to back another year for Jovenel Moïse was they felt that keeping him in office would help keep a lid on the problem. But that's clearly not going to happen. Instead of keeping a lid on the problem, it emboldened Moïse to take more actions. And Haitians are not going to accept that. They took to the streets by the tens of thousands to protest, and they're going to keep protesting until we have a better response. And the best way to have a better response is for the United States to stop propping up President Moïse. Haitians aren't asking the U.S. to pull down Moïse. They're just asking them to stop, asking the U.S. to stop propping him up.
Now, you mentioned those elections in April. How much of a power grab is that? I mean, on the surface, when you hear the word election or referendum, it sounds democratic, but I understand that that really is a facade, and that if they go through in the way that the president wants them to, it would be a very serious power grab of the kind that might lead to, the dictatorship that Haiti's history is unfortunately colored by.
In the United States, we have an opportunity to understand a little bit how precarious Haiti's democracy is because of some of our recent experiences. And the best way to understand it is think about what would have happened if a year ago President Trump had said, before we can have elections for me, my race, we're going to have a constitutional referendum where I'm going to abolish the House of Representatives and I'm going to limit the power of the Supreme Court. And I get to appoint all of the Electoral Council to run my election and the next one. That's almost exactly the situation in Haiti. As in the U.S., Haiti's constitution is by design hard to amend, because to prevent against that kind of abuse, and you have to go through the legislature. It's a complicated process, and President Moïse is just ignoring it, which is exactly as problematic as if Trump had said, I was going to do a referendum, had proposed a referendum for the U.S. constitutional change. And obviously making huge changes like changing how the Electoral Council is chosen, getting rid of the Senate, getting rid of the Prime Minister. I mean, those are really fundamental aspects of Haiti's democracy. And in every case, those changes give more power to President Moïse.
Are there lawmakers here in the United States that have backed Haiti's democracy movements that can and maybe are already trying to push President Biden in the right direction?
Yes, and that's probably the most encouraging aspect of the response from North America. On Thursday, Representative Maxine Waters published an op-ed in the Miami Herald that explained the situation from the perspective of what Haitians are saying, and made some very constructive and practical suggestions of what the U.S. can do. And even about the same time that the U.S. said it was going to be that it advocated for Moïse to stay for another year, the leadership of the House Foreign Affairs Committee stepped up and recognized that most Haitians are saying he can't. And that includes Gregory Meeks, who's the chair, Albio Sirius, who's the head of the Western Hemisphere subcommittees. And the House Foreign Relations Committee is not typically extremely progressive, but the fact that it stepped up on Haiti based on these, very neutral constitutional principles and human rights principles, I think is an encouraging sign that it will continue to do so. And the leadership of people like Maxine Waters, who's been supporting the right for democracy and the democratic rights in Haiti for decades, I think is going to be critical as in putting pressure on the Biden administration.
Throughout this whole process, this resistance transpiring on the streets of Haiti, of course, Haiti is not immune like the rest of the world to the pandemic. What has the situation been on the ground in Haiti to dealing with the coronavirus pandemic while it's dealing with this political crisis?
That is certainly an added challenge. Fortunately, Haiti has actually not been hit that hard by the by the pandemic. I forgot the latest numbers, but the official numbers are really low. Everybody expects the real numbers are higher, that the government's ability to record the cases isn't great. But I think almost everybody agrees that the real numbers are still relatively low, certainly by US standards. But it is keeping people, it is tamping down protest, and that's something when people go out in the streets to protest, they have to worry about getting shot at, getting beat up, getting arrested, but they also have to worry about getting COVID. And so I think it is a deterrence to organizing, and that you'd have much bigger protests if you didn't have that risk.
And of course, Haiti has sadly survived hurricanes, a massive earthquake, cholera outbreaks, a UN occupation. I mean, forget about, the remote past, even just the recent history of the past decade in Haiti has been so trying for the island nation. It's been devastating to think about it. Barely has the population recovered from one tragedy, then another has struck, either of a political or a natural disaster in the making. And it's been really, really difficult for Haitians to get on their feet. And yet there is this really strong thirst for democratic representation, right? Which is, I imagine, rooted in Haiti's history of struggle and liberation.
Yes, and Haitians know that they have a long and inspiring history of struggle. They really invented the human rights movement when they beat Napoleon and decreed emancipation and liberty back in 1804, and they've been fighting ever since. And it is extremely sad that they have to keep fighting against policies from the United States, which have an opportunity to really help Haitians develop their own democracy, but instead, for short sighted reasons, we end up too often being opponents to that democracy. But also Haitians, they are tired. I mean, it has been, as you mentioned, we had the earthquake 11 years ago, and since then there was cholera and so many other problems that Haitians are tired. They're becoming somewhat disillusioned with politics. The toll of the coup d'états and the infiltration have decreased the effectiveness of some of Haiti's most representative political parties. So it is a difficult situation, and it's going to take some time to build these institutions into where Haiti can be stable. But we really can start today by supporting the right side on this.
Now, when we think about the support that can come from the United States, it isn't just political support through elected officials, right? What are the ways in which Americans can support Haitian efforts right now? There's a long history of solidarity between Haiti and the US, and your organization is testament to that.
Yes, and there's been there's lots of organizations throughout the country that have been providing both solidarity and political support, human rights work, medical support. And the U.S. does have a long tradition of our citizens kind of stepping up and helping to make our government do better. And that is, for many Haitians, that is a deep source of hope, along with the deep frustration that our leaders are not doing a better job.
And where can people find out more about the work that your Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti is doing?
So we have a website. It's www.ijdh.org. That's probably the best place to start. And there's also a Twitter and a Facebook account. And there's also, I'll give another a couple Twitter. There's Haiti Watch is a Twitter account that's attempting to bring together a lot of the messaging put out by other organizations, especially on the ground in Haiti. I mean, one of the interesting things, Sonali, when we first started talking about Haiti, it was difficult years ago. It was difficult to get information out of Haiti. But one of the exciting things now is that there's plenty of grassroots journalists and activists who are able to report directly from their cell phones, and we're able to get that out. We in the United States can get that out pretty broadly. So I'd encourage people who are on social media to use those tools to amplify that message, especially coming directly from people on the ground.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Brian, for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Brian Concannon Jr., board member and co-founder of the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti. We've been discussing mass protests there against President Jovenel Moïse. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.